عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله وسلم وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأولا أحمد الله تبارك وتعالى إليكن الذي يسر هذا اللقاء بفضل الله سبحانه وتعالى، ثم بجهود الإخوة في هذا المركز العلمي السني السلفي الذي نرجو الله سبحانه وتعالى أن ينفع به بالتعاون مع إخوانه المسلمين في هذه القارة، وأن يجمعنا وإياكم دائما على الخير ثم في دار الكرامة في جنات النعيم. أخواتي المؤمنات، أود أن ألخص بعض الوصايا والنصائح للتذكير ولحث الأخوات المؤمنات على التزام الإسلام الحق الذي فيه كرامة المرأة المسلمة وعزها وشرفها.
بسم الله، الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. الشيخ صالح رحمي حفظه الله استاذ فسبر سين يتفيد الله تبارك وتعالى who has made this meeting possible, and we also thank the brothers who are in charge of this center of knowledge, the Sunni Salafi center of knowledge that he will hope will benefit the Muslims and those who come together and work in this area and cooperate with one another in this city and this area. And he says he hopes that Allah Ta'ala, just as he has gathered us here, will gather us in the hereafter upon khair and within the Jannah, rather, within the Jannah, the paradise. Then he says, my dear believing sisters, I have some advices for you. Some of them are by way of reminding you, and some of them are matters that help the sister or advises the sister to stick to her Islam, the true Islam, because Islam is the source of her honor. Islam is the source of her honor, and it must be stuck to.
أخوات المؤمنات، إن من نعم الله تبارك وتعالى علينا جميعا وعليكن خاصة أن هدانا وهداكم في هذا البلد إلى الإسلام، فهذا فضل عظيم يمتن الله تبارك وتعالى به على عباده، وبخاصة في مثل هذا البلد الذي قبل سنوات ما كان المسلمون بهذه الكثافة، ولكن بفضل الله سبحانه وتعالى ومنه وكرمه أقبل الناس على الدين الإسلامي، لأنه دين الحق، ولأنه الدين الذي كسل الحقوق لكافة الناس، كسل الحقوق للرجل والمرأة والأم والبنت والأخت والخالة والعمة والزوجة، كسل الحقوق بكل ما تعنيه كلمة الحقوق من معنى. إن الحقوق التي يتباتى عليها بعض الناس هي التي توجد في الإسلام، والإسلام هو الذي أكرم المرأة المسلمة ورفع من شأنها وأعزها وجعلها امرأة تقوم بدور عظيم في بيتها وفي ما يليق بها من عمل إذا وفقها الله سبحانه وتعالى لسلوك الطريق الصحيح.
نعم. بسم الله، الحمد لله. First of all, I say that this is this blessing which is general for all of us, and that which is particular for the sisters who are living in this land. And that is the blessing of Allah Ta'ala upon us with Islam. This is really a great blessing. Specifically in a country like this, that before in this country there were a very small amount of Muslims. The Muslims were not this great amount that they are now. But by the blessings of Allah Ta'ala, people are entering Islam in crowds. And this is a great blessing of Allah, that beyond it is no greater blessing. The blessing of Islam. And Islam is the deen of haq, the religion of truth. And Islam has guaranteed for everyone their rights. It has guaranteed for the man his rights, guaranteed for the woman her rights, guaranteed for the mother her rights, and for the child their rights, and for the sister her rights, and for the brother his rights, and for the daughters, and for the sons, and for the uncles, nephews, and nieces, and so on and so forth. Everybody will get their rights in the meaning, to the total degree of the meaning of the words rights. And these rights that people cry about nowadays and mourn about nowadays, Islam has preserved them and has guaranteed them. They will find their rights fulfilled in Islam. My sisters in Islam, the Sheikh said, Hafizahullah, you have been, Islam has ennobled the woman and have raised her to a high level of respect and have honored her with great honor and has expressed to her the great role that she is to fulfill, specifically in her house and also in those areas of work that befit her status.
أول وصية أوصي بها نفسي وأخواتي وإخواني تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى في جميع الأحوال في العسر واليسر والمنشط والمكره والرخاء والشدة وفي كل زمان وفي كل مكان يثبت المسلم على تقوى الله تبارك وتعالى لا تغيره الأمور التي تطرأ ولا يحيد عن تقوى الله تبارك وتعالى في جميع الأحوال.
نعم. The first matter that I advise my sisters with and my brothers is the taqwa of Allah. To fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To fear Him in ease and in hush and in difficulty. To fear Him when one feels like doing so and when one does not feel like doing so. To fear Him in when things are going are easy and when things are tight. And he should be feared subhanahu wa ta'ala in every place. And he should be feared subhanahu wa ta'ala in every time. And that this Muslim who has this taqwa, nothing that happens to him should change that condition. Nothing that happens to him or her should prevent her from still being upon a taqwa.
وَعَلَمِي أُخْتِ الْمُؤْمِنَةِ أن تقوى الله سبحانه وتعالى سبب كل فوز وفلاح ونجاح في الدارين، سبب لتيسير الأمور، وسبب لتفريج الكروب، وسبب لمرضاة الله قبل كل شيء، وسبب لتحقيق ما تصبو إليه المرأة المسلمة من خير. نعم.
You know, my believing sisters, that taqwa is the means of all good. It's the means to all good in this world and the hereafter. It is the means of achieving the praise of Allah. It is the means of achieving ease. It is the means of removing these difficulties. It is the means of all good in this world and the hereafter.
والأمر الثاني الفقه في الدين. فالواجب على المرأة المسلمة أن تعرف أحكام الدين وأن تتفقه في دين الله حتى تعبد الله على بصيرة. وأقل ما يجب أن تتفقه فيه المرأة المسلمة شأنها شأن الرجل ما تصح به عبادتها، ما تعرف به التمييز بين الأمور. نعم.
And the second advice for my sisters is that they must achieve fiqh of deen. I need to have an understanding of deen, to learn his rulings and his regulations, to learn the matters of worship. And the least amount they should learn is those matters that they must fulfill or must know to be able to complete obligatory worship. This is the least that they must know, that they should be able to distinguish the matters of the obligatory worships and know the rulings regarding them.
بالعلم تميز المرأة المسلمة بين التوحيد والشرك، وبين السنة والبدع والخرافات، بين الحق والباطل، بين الحلال والحرام، بين الضار والنافع، بين الخبيث والطيب، بين الطريق المستقيم والطريق المعوج.
With knowledge, the sister will be able to distinguish tawheed from shirk, sunnah from bid'ah, haq, truth, from batil, falsehood, halal from that which is haram, that which is beneficial from that which is harmful. We'll distinguish all of these matters, and we make clear to her the sirat al-mustaqim, the straight path.
فلا بد أن تتفقه المرأة في أحكام الطهارة وفي أحكام الصلاة وفي كل حكم تصح به العبادة، لا تعذر بالجهل به إذا وجدت من يعلمها. أما أن تجلس وتترك العلم والتعلم وتقع في المخالفات الشرعية ولا تعرف أحكام الطهارة، أحكام الحيض، أحكام النفاس، أحكام الصلوات، أحكام الصوم، أحكام كثيرة، أحكام المتعلقة بالرضاعة، فقد تقع في المخالفات الشرعية وهي لا تدري. فإن كانت تجد من يعلمها ولكنها أعرضت فهي آثمة، وإن لم تجد من يعلمها فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم. لكن ينبغي أن تبحث عن الفقه في الدين أقل ما يمكن القدر الذي تعرف به أحكام الطهارة وأحكام العبادة.
It is a must that the sisters know the meanings of tahara, the knowledge of tahara, purification, the knowledge of the rules, regulations regarding salah, the knowledge of acts of worship, of ibadah, to make sure that she's carrying out those worships correctly. And because if not, if there's no knowledge, then she will fall into that which is wrong or be doing those worships incorrectly, and she does not know. So it's not permissible for her to sit in the house not seeking knowledge. But she's supposed to seek it if they are there, those who can give her knowledge. And if she don't find those who can give her knowledge, she is supposed to fear Allah and do as much as she is able. She should not give up, but she should strive to seek the knowledge. She should know at least the rulings regarding tahara and purification, the rulings regarding the menses, the rulings regarding post-childbirth bleeding, the rulings regarding breastfeeding, the rulings regarding fasting, the rulings regarding all of these types of issues. And if she doesn't know and she doesn't strive to learn, she's a sinner. She's athima. She has committed a sin. And then, based upon that sin, she will be falling to things that are incorrect. And she has no excuse in this case, for she's supposed to seek knowledge. So she must search and must look for fiqh for deen. So she gets fiqh in the knowledge of her deen, in matters of purification and the rest of the acts of worship.
الأمر الثالث اعتزاز المرأة المسلمة بدينها ولو خالفها جميع الناس، والثبات على الحق، وعدم المبالاة بما قد تواجه من تحديات سواء من الكفار أو من بعض المسلمين المتشبهين بالكفار. فيجب عليها أن تثبت وأن لا تأخذها المغريات، وأن لا تجري وراء هذه الحضارة بكل ما فيها من تقليد أعمى. نعم، تأخذ بأسباب التقدم فيما لا يتعارض مع أنوثتها ومع وضعها الاجتماعي الذي هيأها الله سبحانه وتعالى له، لكن عليها أن تعتز بدينها وأن تتمسك به حق التمسك، ولا تنظر إلى من يسخر أو يستهزئ أو ينال أو يغمز أو يلمز. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما سلم من الناس، سموه شاعرا، سموه مجنونا، سموه كذا، فعلوا ما فعلوا، ولكن الحق يعلو ولا يعلى.
And the sister must seek honor in her deen and follow her deen and stick to her deen and be steadfast upon that and not pay attention to anyone who might be in opposition or against or upon other than that. Whether it be from the kuffar or whether it be from those Muslims who are trying to be similar to the kuffar. Whatever challenges that may come her way, she is to be strong, steadfast, and upright. And not to blind follow the whims of this society or this civilization, this Western civilization or society. But rather she can take from it that which befits her deen and her femininity and the honorable status that Islam has bestowed upon her. So she is to stick to her deen. And don't care about anyone who is not upon her deen. Whether they mock at her or joke about her or verbally abuse her or call her out of her name. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not safe from the tongues of the people. For they called him a sorcerer and they called him crazy and they called him a poet. Yet the truth is that which is above and which is superior and which will never be that which is below or that which is up under something else. It will always be the highest and the greatest.
الأمر الرابع عدم التشبه سواء التشبه بالكافرات في زيهن ووضعهن أو التشبه بالرجال فإن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لعن المتشبهين من الرجال بالنساء والمتشبهات من النساء بالرجال وما يدعو إليه المقلدون لأعداء الدين من خروج المرأة من سترها ومن حجابها ومن بيتها إلى عمل لا يليق بها كل هذا من التشبه وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من تشبه بقوم فهو منهم.
The next matter of advice is that the Muslim sister must not be similar to the kuffar, to the disbelievers. Should not be similar to them, either in their way or actions or manners, or in their clothing. And she should also not be similar to the men. For the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah has cursed those women, the curse of Allah is upon those women who take upon the habits of men, or take upon the characteristics of men. And the curse of Allah is upon the men who take upon the characteristics of women. So this is a very important point to understand, that being similar is a very broad matter. And amongst them is the call today for the woman to come, to go beyond her fitrah, her nature, and to come out of her hijab, or to come out of the house and work. All of this is calling her to be similar to the enemies of Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who is similar to the people is one of them.
سلامة المرأة المسلمة من هذا التشبه أن تتمسك بآداب الدين من الحجاب الإسلامي والقرار في البيت وعدم الخروج إلا لحاجة كما قال الله تبارك وتعالى وقرن في بيوتكن ولا تبرجن تبرج الجاهلية الأولى وعدم إبداء الزينة لغير الأزواج والمحارم و الاجتهاد في ما يقرب إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى ولا ننظر إلى من يخالفنا ولا ننظر إلى كثرة المخالفين فقد اقتضت حكمة الله أن يكون أهل الحق يعني هم الأقل لكن العاقبة لهم بإذن الله وإن كانوا أقل عددا.
Also, when we talk about this matter, it must be understood that the Muslim woman should practice her hijab and should cover and do those things that will bring her close to Allah Ta'ala, like wearing the hijab and staying in the house and not coming out of the house unless there is a need. As Allah says in the Quran, and remain in your houses and do not come out in tabarruj, the nakedness of the days of Jahiliyyah. So she should not show her beauty except to her husband or to those relatives who cannot marry her, the maharam, other than that she should remain in a state of covering. And she should be concerned about those matters and strive for those matters that bring her close to Allah tabaraka ta'ala. And do not pay attention, the Shaykh Hafizahullah said, to those people who are different than us. Do not pay attention to those who differ with us. Because the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has demanded through His wisdom that those upon the truth are the smaller amount. But the end result and the victory is for them. The end result is for them.
فتلبس المرأة الملابس الفضفاضة الواسعة التي لا تبدي شيئا من زينتها أمام الرجال عند الخروج، وأيضا تكون متينة لا تشف عما وراءها، وأيضا لا تصف الجسم ولا تصف تقاطيعه، لأن ذلك فتنة. والرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: ما تركت على الرجال شر فتنة شرا من النساء. فيجب على المرأة لا تكون فتنة، أن لا تجعل نفسها فتنة للرجال حتى لا تتعرض للوعيد والإثم ويعني الذي وعد الله توعد الله تبارك وتعالى به النساء الكافيات العاريات التي سأذكر وصفهن بعد قليل.
The matter is that the hijab should be such that it is wide and it is thick enough so that it cannot deceive you, and spacious enough so that it does not show the form of the body, because all of this, the thick, if it is not, if one is able to see through it, and if it is tight and so on and so forth, then this is a fitna. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have not left a greater fitna than the fitna of the women, a greater fitna for men than the fitna of the women. So the sister who believes in Allah on the last day should not want to be a source of fitna, and she should not want to fall under the threat of Allah ta'ala and have sins upon her, and the punishment that Allah ta'ala has promised those who will be dressed yet undressed, which he described the description more so as he speaks on the subject.
يقول رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صنفان من الناس لم أرهم بعد. صنفان من الناس لم أرهم بعد. وذكر منهم نساء كافيات عاريات مائلات مميلات على رؤوسهن مثل أثنمة البخت، سأشرح هذا إن شاء الله، لا يدخلن الجنة ولا يجدن ريحها، وإن ريحها لا يشم من مسافة كذا وكذا. المقصود أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ذكر أن هناك صنفا من النساء وصفهن بقوله كافيات عاريات، لأنهن يلبسن لباسا ولكنه لباس غير سافر، مجرد خدعة يشف عما وراءه، ولذلك سماهن كافيات عاريات. مائلات مميلات، يعني يتبخترن ويتمايلن بأجسامهن أمام الرجال مما يطمع الذي في قلبه مرض. ثم أخبر أنهن لا يدخلن الجنة وأنهن لا يجدن مجرد ريحها الذي يشم من مسافة مئات الأعوام. تفضل.
He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two groups of people from amongst my ummah that I have not seen them yet. And amongst them he mentioned that there will be women who will be dressed but undressed, and lean or looming for men. And they will have upon their heads like the humps of camels, which the Shaykh Hafizullah said he will explain. Said these individuals will not enter the Jannah, the paradise, nor will they smell its fragrance. And verily its fragrance can be smelled from a very, very far distance. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described these women as being naked while still having clothes upon them, meaning that their clothes are just a deception, that is really material that can be seen to, or that is tight, or whatever the case, that in reality they are naked. And their bodies can be shown through this clothing. Then he said that they move about to men, and they are luring to the men, with moving themselves or their bodies in such a way that attracts the men, and those who have sicknesses in their heart. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about these type of women, that they will not enter the Jannah, nor will they smell its fragrance. And its fragrance can be smelled from many, many miles or distances away.
الأمر الخامس البعد عن بعض العادات السيئة التي تقع فيها بعض النساء وربما يقع فيها بعض الرجال بسبب عدم غيرتهم على نسائهم. فمن تلك العادات السيئة أولا الاختلاط مع غير المحارم وبخاصة الخلوة، الخلوة مع الرجال الأجانب. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما خلا رجل بامرأة إلا وكان الشيطان ثالثهما. ومن ذلك أيضا ثانيا أو تترجم الأول.
نعم. يعني شيخ بالنسبة لحية شعره في حديث القاسيات العاريات.
إيه أحسنت. نعم. سلام. على رؤوسهن مثل أسنمة البخت، يعني يجعلن تسريحة معينة يراها الرجال، وبخاصة التي تجعل في الأعلى، وأيضا ربما ما يسمى بتسريحة الكعك التي تجعل في الخلف، إذا ظهر حجمها للرجال حتى ولو كانت مغطاة. فيعني يجعلنا يعني شعرهن بطريقة فيها تشبه وفيها إظهار للزينة. وأثنمة البخت يعني الإبل، أثنمة الإبل، سنام الإبل. إذا كنتن تعرفن الإبل أو رأيتنها، يعني الإبل لها سنام فوق يعني ظهرها عندما تبلغ في السمن يعني وضعا معينا يكبر ذلك السنام. فهي إذا كانت تجعل شعرها تجمعه بطريقة يعني أو تسرحه بطريقة يلفت أنظار غير المحارم أو تحت هذا الوعيد الذي بينه الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم.
نعم. الشيخ عبد الله said in the explanation of it that when it says and upon their heads it's like a hump of camels, this means that they are beautifying and gathering and combing their hair in such a way that it will make it very long, very tall, and it will attract the eyes of men. So they were making it so that it will attract the eyes of men. And this is one of their characteristics also. He said, you have seen the camels, or no one has the camels, look, you see the humps, they have combed their hairs in this way. Even if the hair is covered, and it can be, its form can be shown in this way as a hump, and this is also intertwined under this hadith for being seen in this regard. For the beauty of the hair, and the shape of the hair, and so on and so forth, and the hair, and so on and so forth, should not be shown except to the Mahara, and the relatives that cannot be made. The fifth matter that the Shaykh Hazrat Allah mentioned is that the sister should stay away from the bad habits, from those habits that go against her modesty, and those habits that go against her, which is correct. He said it may happen from her, it may happen from the men folk in the household who don't have jealousy regarding their women. And one of these habits is mixing with the opposite sex. The khalwa, which is the worst, would be in isolation with someone who it is permitted for you to marry them. This khalwa is haram. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no two people come together, no man comes to a woman who is not lawful for him or isolates himself with her, except the shaitan is the third. So these habits of mixing and having isolation and being with someone of the opposite sex who is in the law for you to be with, someone who is not from the Muharram, or the relatives that cannot be married, if they want to be married, then this is bad habits that must be left away, and the believing that is required in making that issue.
أيضا من العادات السيئة أن بعض المجتمعات توجد عندها المصافحة بين الرجال والنساء، يعني يضع يده في يدها، وربما كان ذلك أمام أبيها أو زوجها. والمرأة إذا بلغت سن الحلم ليس لها أن يمسها أحد من ليس محرما لها، لا مصافحة ولا معانقة ولا شيئا من ذلك. وبعض الناس قد غلب عليهم تقليد أعداء الإسلام، فربما إذا جاءه ضيف قدم له زوجته أو أخته أو بنته، يقول هذه فلانة تريد أن تسلم عليك، وكأنه يعني يرى أن في ذلك شرفا له، بل في ذلك والعياذ بالله خسة وقلة أدب مع الله سبحانه وتعالى وعدم غيرة، يعني يصبح هذا عديم الغيرة بتساهله بهذا الأمر. وقد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إني لا أصافح النساء، إني لا أصافح النساء، يعني المصافحة وضع اليد في اليد هكذا، حتى ولو بحائل، حتى ولو وضعت المرأة على يدها شيئا لا يجوز لها أن تضع يدها في أيدي الرجال غير المحارم. ولذلك يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إني لا أصافح النساء، لما جاءت المرأة تبايعه بعد أن بايعه الرجال ومدت يدها لم يصافحها وهو في مرحلة البيعة، فقال لها: إني لا أصافح النساء، وإن قولي لواحدة كقولي لمئة امرأة. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لأن يطعن أحدكم بحديدة في رأسه خير له من أن يمس امرأة لا تحل له، لأن يطعن أحدكم بمخيط في رأسه أو حديدة في رأسه خير له من أن يمس امرأة لا تحل له. فيجب عليك أختي المؤمنة أن تكون عندك غيرة، لا تجعلين بنتك ولا أختك ولا وأنت أخي المؤمن لا تمكن زوجتك ولا أختك ولا بنتك ولا أمك من مصافحة الرجال الأجانب، وأعني بالأجانب غير المحارم. نعم.
And stay away from is the shaking of hands, which is a common practice nowadays. The shaking of hands. The shaking of hands of a male person who is not halal for her to shake hands with. And that if this individual is not a relative of hers, that is forbidden for her to marry. So if this is a stranger to her, or someone who is permissible for her to marry, she cannot shake his hand. And he said, this should be something known, because it's a habit nowadays of people. One will shake the hand of a man in front of her father, will shake the hand of a man in front of her husband, and so on and so forth. Is it becoming a habit or is something that is not a habit? And he said it is not permissible for a woman, for a female after she reaches her age of puberty, to touch or be touched by anyone who is not a mahram, anyone who is not a male relative that is forbidden for her to marry. He said this is handshaking and also hugging or anything of the like. He said nowadays you have people who are men come to their houses and want to introduce their wife, thinking that this is one way of giving her her rights and making her noble, respecting her. The Sheikh said this is dishonoring her and disgracing her, plus it shows that he doesn't have any jealousy, nor does he have any respect for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So this shaking is forbidden, shaking of hands. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I do not shake the hands of women. This shaking is forbidden, shaking of hands, even if she has gloves on. Even if she places the material between her hands and the hands of the person that she is shaking, it is still a matter that is haram for her to do. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never shake the hands of women, to the degree that even the act of worship or a great act of sacrifice like the oath of allegiance, when they came to take the bay'ah, a woman extended her hand and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this, I do not shake the hand of women. So he said, my word to one woman is like my word to 100. So just to touch his expression or his word, but not to touch his hand. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it's better for one of you to have an iron rod stuck in his head than to touch someone who is not, or touch someone who is not halal for him to touch. Touch someone that is not halal for him to touch. So she's not to be shaking hands with anyone except those who are maharim, her near relatives, who it is forbidden for her to marry. And so he says, listen sister, and listen mother, and listen father, that you should not have your wives, or your sister, or your daughters, or any of them shaking the hands of those that are strange, or are dying of strange people, who are not relatives, or near relatives, members of their family. So this is a very important matter to understand. He said it's a matter of honor, it's a matter of jealousy, and it's a matter of chastity, and it's a matter of modesty.
سأختصر في الوصايا إجمالا، نترك المجال لبعض الأسئلة إن شاء الله. أقول من العادات السيئة أيضا رؤية أو النظر إلى الأفلام الخليعة المفسدة التي تفسد القلوب وتدعو إلى الفاحشة وتفسد الناشئة وتفسد الشباب والشابات، وكذلك سماع الأغاني التي تذاع هنا وهناك أو ربما يقتنيها بعض الناس في البيوت، فإن ذلك كله محرم. وإذا أردت سلامة بيتك أختي المؤمنة فأبعدي هذه المناظر السيئة عن أبنائك وعن بناتك، لأنك مسؤولة عنهم مع أبيهم مسؤولية كبرى وهم أمانة عندك، فلنبتعد عن هذه الأمور التي تدعو إلى الفحش وتدعو إلى مخالفة شرع الله سبحانه وتعالى. من الفضائيات التي تنشر الفحش وتنشر الإلحاد وتنشر الفضائح وتدعو إلى الرذيلة وتبعد عن الفضيلة. نعم.
Just for our advices now, because I want to make some time for the sisters to ask questions and to read some of the questions that have been gathered and they're supposed to answer them. He said that amongst the bad habits also, if you're looking at bad films or bad movies or television programs that cause to fornication and the mixing and the coming together of the sexes and so on and so forth, and cause to that which is haram and forbidden, legal sexual intercourse and so on and so forth. Also connected with the music, listening to music and having that in the house. He said these are matters that are haram and forbidden. And if the sisters want that a house will be a place of safety, and she is responsible for those matters that go on in her house and her care, then she should remove these matters from being in front of her children or her children being exposed to them, those matters that cause her fornication and for bad behavior and so on and so forth, like music and bad things and these type of matters. Also he said the satellite programs that call to ilhad, which means atheism or rejection of the existence of Allah, or call to fornication or not pornography and whatever the case may be, and all of these type of issues, these matters should be moved away from the eye, from the house, so that it's moved away from the eyes of the children and from the eyes of the father and the eyes of the mother. And so you should be concerned about this, for you are a mother and you are going to be responsible, for those under your care.
قيام المرأة المسلمة بالحقوق الملقاة على عاتقها، وبخاصة الحقوق الزوجية على الوجه الذي يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى، بأن ترعاه في غيبته وتحافظ على تربية أولادها وأولاده وتستتر بستر الله في بيتها، وألا تخرج إلا بإذنه، وألا ترفع صوتها عليه، وأن لا تسمعه إلا ما يعني من إلا الكلام الطيب الذي يؤلف بين الزوجين، ولا تكثر من معاتبته ومخاصمته وإيذائه بالكلام مما يعكر الحياة الزوجية، وتجتهد في إعانته على تربية الأولاد، لأن الأولاد رعية عندهم، كما قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته، وذكر في الحديث والزوجة راعية في بيت زوجها ومسؤولة عن رعيتها. فعليك أختي المؤمنة أن تكوني قدوة صالحة في تصرفاتك وفي عنايتك بزوجك والقيام بكامل حقوقه على الوجه الذي يرضي الله سبحانه وتعالى، فقد جعل الله له القوامة وجعل له درجة على المرأة، لا من حيث المنزلة عند الله والتقوى، لا من حيث المنزلة عند الله والفضل، فإن المفاضلة هنا إنما تكون بالتقوى، لكن من جهة القوامة ومن جهة القيام بالحقوق جعل الله للرجل درجة، لأنه المسؤول عن الإنفاق، ولأن له حق القوامة عليها، ولأنه هو الذي يقوم بكل المتطلبات، ولذلك يجب أن تقوم بحقوقه على الوجه الأكمل، كما يجب عليه هو أيضا أن يقوم بحقوقها من رعايتها وكسوتها وإسكانها فيما مسكن يليق بها وإعطائها حقوقها وعدم التعدي عليها وما إلى ذلك، ولهن مثل الذي عليهن بالمعروف وللرجال عليهن درجة.
My next advice is that the sisters should pay honorably the responsibilities that are upon their shoulders from the rights of the husband and the taking care of the children. The rights of the husband are a very important issue, the Sheikh says, that must be fulfilled in a manner that pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That she be in the obedience of her husband, and that she covers properly, and that she be aware of respecting him, whether he's present or not present. And that she doesn't raise her voice above his voice, and she always says to him good words and things that will bring their house together, and that she doesn't argue and create disputes that make the relationship between them tight, but that she fulfill her obligations in the best way. For the obligations of the husband, as the Shaykh Hazrat says, is the greatest obligation, and she must fulfill them in the most perfect way. Also responsibility to the children, because as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, all of you are shepherds, and all of you the acts of those who are under your care. So the children are under care of the woman, because he said, and the woman is a shepherd, and she reacts of her house, and she reacts about those under her care. So it's important that she raises them properly, be concerned about them, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, because the husband has been given qawama, which is a degree above the woman, not from the standpoint of a position with Allah, for the position with Allah is such that the only one who is the best is the one who has the most taqwa. But from the standpoint of how Allah created the male and created the female, and from the standpoint of how the husband stands up on the wife and the things that he has to take care of, so he deserves that he gets his complete rights, and that he be obeyed, and that he does not be disobeyed, and as the Sheikh says, that she does not go out of the house without his permission, and so on and so forth. At the same time, he, the husband, must be aware of her rights and complete her rights of giving her proper food and clothing and proper shelter that befits her, and so on and so forth. These are all of the issues. So he said that the Muslim woman carries upon her shoulders certain responsibilities. She should fulfill those responsibilities in a manner that pleases Allah. تبارك وتعالى.
وأعلم أختي المؤمنة أن المرأة التي تلتزم بدينها التزاما صحيحا فإنها تحترم حتى لدى أعداء الإسلام. وأنا أذكر لكنا موقفا حصل معي وأنا في إحدى الدول ومعي إحدى زوجاتي وكانت بكامل الحجاب، وكان معنا من المسلمات من خلعنا حجابهن وكشفنا رؤوسهن عندما نزلنا معنا في ذلك البلد. فلما نزلنا في المطار وجئنا عند جهاز التفتيش، وهذا أذكره للعبرة، ما كان من هذا الرجل الذي ليس بمسلم عندما رأى إحدى زوجاتي وإحدى زوجات الإخوة الذين معي متحجبتين، طلب لهن امرأة ليمررن عن طريقها في التفتيش، بينما النساء اللاتي خلعن حجابهن وكشفن رؤوسهن وتعرين كما تتعرى الكافرات مررن معنا عبر الجهاز الذي يمر معه الرجال، وأشار إلينا بأن نساءكم سوف نأتي لهن بامرأة احتراما لكم ما دمتم تحترمون دينكم حتى في هذا المكان. لذلك أختي المؤمنة أنا أذكر هذا للعبرة، عليك أن تلزمي دينك مهما كانت الظروف والأحوال، ووالله إنك تحترمين إذا احترمت دينك. وسأختم كلمتي ببشرى للمرأة المؤمنة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد أن يترجم الشيخ هذه القصة.
الحمد لله. الشيخ صالح سبحانه حفظه الله says, the sister of a Muslim woman should understand that is sticking to her deen. Is sticking to her deen. It is the position of respect from all the world. Even from the kuffar. They respect her the more that she sticks to her deen, the more that she sticks to her clothing, the more that she sticks to the proper modesty and chastity and hijab. He gives an example of this that took place with him, and he said, he's mentioning it for a lesson for us to observe and reflect upon it. But he traveled to one country, and with him was one of his wives, and she was in full hijab, totally covered. And that they were upon this plane before they arrived to that particular country, other sisters who were covered up on the plane, but when they arrived at the airport in the traveling country, they took off their hijab and exposed themselves as the kuffar exposed themselves, and putting their head, and so on and so forth. He said when they arrived at the airport, there was a point of inspection and customs, and the distinction was made then that they sent someone to him and to his wife and the sister that came with them Well, the sister that was also on the plane with them, that, and you will have a woman come to you, and she will pull you aside, regarding the customs and inspection. Whereas the ones who had uncovered themselves, and were looking at the kuffar at this point, they went through the inspection of the customs of the men, right along with the men. And when it was asked as to why this was the case, they were stated to the sheikh that we respect your women, their manners and so on and so forth. So he said, you see here that respect will be granted to the sister who respects her being. Honor will be given to the woman who honors her being. And this is something that must be understood. He said, so the sisters must stick to their being no matter what the case is, no matter how difficult it gets, no matter what the challenges are, they must stick and be steadfast upon their being. And that will bring them full and total respect. He said, he would like to end his words with glad tidings that have been mentioned from the Prophet صلوات الله وسلام عليه.
أخواتي المؤمنات، الوصايا كثيرة، ولكن لعل فيما ذكرنا توجيه أو توجيها لمن وفقها الله سبحانه وتعالى. وأختم كلمتي ببشرى عظيمة بشر بها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المؤمنة الملتزمة بشرع الله. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: إذا صلت المرأة خمسها وصامت شهرها وأطاعت زوجها وحفظت فرجها دخلت الجنة من أي أبوابها الثمانية شاءت. بمعنى إذا أدت المؤمنة الصلوات الخمس، طبعا بعد توحيد الله سبحانه وتعالى، وصامت شهر رمضان وأدت ما عليها من حقوق، وأطاعت زوجها قامت بحقوقه على الوجه الذي يرضي الله، وحفظت فرجها من عبث العابثين، فإن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام قد بشرها بهذه البشرى العظيمة، وهو أنها تخير يوم القيامة بين أبواب ثمانية من أبواب الجنة، يقال لها ادخلي من أي هذه الأبواب شئتي. نسأل الله الكريم بأسمائه الحسنى وصفاته العلى أن يجعل كنا أخوات المؤمنات ممن ينلن هذه البشارة، وأن يرزقنا وإياكن وسائر المسلمين الاستقامة على طاعته والعمل بما يرضيه، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين.
So in closing, the Sheikh of Allah said, my dear believing sisters, the advices are not for me. But we hope that what you have mentioned are enough directives for those who fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Enough advice for those who hope for the meeting of Allah or the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, I will close with glad tidings, the bushra, that have been stated from the tongue of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A glad tidings for that woman who is steadfast upon her deen, for that woman who does her deen, for the woman who sticks to her Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if the woman, Muslim woman, prays her five times a day salah, and fasts the month that is upon her to fast, and obeys her husband, and guards her private parts, she will enter the Jannah for any of the 8 gates or 8 doors of Jannah that she wills. This is the glad tidings for the one who sticks to her religion and steadfast. He says, so what this means is that if she prays her 5 times a day salat, of course after Tawheed, and after the blessing and blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 5 times a day salat, and she fasts the month of Ramadan, and she obeys her husband, meaning she fulfills the right of her husband, to fulfill the rights of her husband, in such a way that it pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, completely fulfills his rights, and then guards her private parts, as the sheikh says, protect the private parts from the plane of those who like to play. Meaning she does not fall in any type of legal sexual intercourse or anything that's prerequisite for that. Then she will enter the Jannah for whatever door of the 8 doors of paradise she will. So you do make dua for everyone present amongst her sisters. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by his highest names and his, by his best names and his highest qualities. To grant all of you the ability to be steadfast and upright upon your deen, and to keep you upon the deen until you meet Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. There Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all of that. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
ما أدري الأسئلة بعد الصلاة ولا الآن ممكن ما تأخر نص ساعة كذا
يشق
على الإخوة التأخير شوي
لا لا يشقون الإخوة إن شاء الله
لأن وقت العشاء متسع
نعم
الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أخرها إلى ثلث الليل الأول
وهذا هو نجعله أول السؤال عندنا مثل هذا السؤال
نعم
فأولا الأسئلة كثيرة جدا إن شاء الله
يعني أنت نقي
أنا نقلتها وأقرأ بالعربي والآخر يقرأ بالإنجليزية إن شاء الله
لا بأس
ثم إذا إن رضيت
إذا كان هناك أسئلة خاصة يمكن أن تكون بعد الصلاة
نعم الشخص الذي أنا سأسأله أن يحسن الكشف إن شاء الله.
إذا كان هناك أسئلة خاصة بدون مكبر لا مانع لدي بعد الصلاة.
وأفضل الصلاة.
إذا وجد من الأخوات من تترجم.
إذا
وجد من الأخوات من تجيد العربية.
بيكون لي. نعم. شيخ حبيب الله صلى. But there's no problem after the salat if you don't pray but after presence of the microphone. If there's a sister over there who has ability to speak with the sisters, then we will put personal private questions. Personal private questions for the sister who has personal private questions.
يعني نحن نحسن العامة أما إذا في سؤال خاص ووجد من الأخوات من تجيد العربية
طيب.
يمكن أن تأتي هي والسائلة وتسأل
إن شاء الله begin with this إن شاء الله إن شاء الله
انتقل من الإنجليزية نحن العربية
The first question, what is the reason for Isha prayer? If you delay the salat, should it be made before 12 o'clock midnight?
السائلة تقول ما الحكم في صلاة العشاء إذا أخرت؟ هل إذا أخرناها نصليها قبل منتصف الليل أو نصليها بعد منتصف الليل ولا إثم علينا حفظكم الله؟
الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أخر العشاء ليلة إلى ثلث الليل الأول الثلث يعني يقسم الليل إلى ثلاثة أقسام وقال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لجعلتها في هذه الساعة فمن أخرها إلى ثلث الليل تحريا لهذا الفضل وبخاصة النساء اللاتي لا تلزمهن لأنه لا تلزمهن صلاة الجماعة فلا حرج عليها وإن يعني وجدت ضرورة يعني فلا تؤخر عن نصف الليل الوقت المختار الأفضل ثلث الليل لكن عند الضرورة إلى نصف الليل إلى نصف الليل نعم
شاك حفظه الله سيد بمثل صلى الله عليه وسلم on occasion delayed the prayer to the first part of the night because the night is split into three parts so delayed the Isha to the first part of the night and he said it would not be hard for my ummah I will make salat Isha at this time so this is something that's permissible for the women to do especially since they do not have to make Salah and Jama'ah, but they delay it to the first day of the night. And he says that this prayer should not be delayed beyond the middle of the night. Beyond not necessarily 12 o'clock, but it's that which you calculate from the time that comes in to Fajr, and then you figure out the middle of the night, not with that. So, this is the answer of the Shaykh of Allah, that it should not be done beyond that, out of necessity, unless it's for necessity. What is the condition of the woman? What is the condition for when we travel?
ما حكم المرأة التي تسافر بالنسبة للمحرم أو عدم وجود المحرم؟
يقول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يحل لامرأة تؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر أن تسافر إلا ومعها ذو محرم وفي رواية أن تسافر ثلاثا وفي رواية يوما وليلة فالحق أن المرأة لا تسافر إلا مع محارمها ذكر بعض أهل العلم أنها إذا اضطرت إلى السفر لحاجة ملحة لا عذر فيها وتكون مع رفقة مأمونة ومع مجموعة نساء بهذا القيد أو بهذين القيدين أن تكون هناك رفقة مأمونة